This is the Hawk Corner Trade Recap Show for the week of August the 3rd.
This is the Hawk Corner on the Sports Superstation with your host, Ryan McKenna.
Welcome back, as planned, to Gateway Arena in Borden Carlton, the home of Akon's Dadzania. For about the first 5 to 10 minutes here on our 14th episode, we're going to give you the full trade recap, which will also account for our new segment as well this morning. Thanks for joining me again, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Adam, you ready to talk some ball?
No question.
Let's do her up.
The Hawk Corner Trade Recap.
All right, let's first talk about the big trades that happened. We're going to do a little David Letterman style here. Countdown instead of top 10, we'll do top 5. At number 5, Jared Washburn going to the Detroit Tigers in exchange for 2 young lefties. How do you evaluate this trade going, I guess, the Mariners side of things?
Well, I think that for the Mariners, they gave up a decent pitcher. I don't think they got a whole lot for him. A couple of young guys there, so it'll be interesting to see how they pan out for Detroit. Picking up, you know, they needed a pitcher, and they got a pretty good guy, player who's in Washburn that's definitely been pitching over his head, I think, this year. His ERA is considerably lower than his career numbers would indicate, but as we mentioned off the air, it wouldn't be the first time that, you know, an average run-of-the-mill player has kind of pitched or played over his head in a contract year. So he's been consistent from all season. I think that, you know, if you can keep those numbers up or close to those numbers for Detroit, I think it's a great move for the Tigers. They're in a tight battle there with the Twins and the White Sox for the Central, and I think they picked up a much-needed pitcher.
Awesome. Number 4, Victor Martinez going to the Boston Red Sox. And going back to the Indians, we got the young pitcher Justin Masterson, Nick Hagedorn, and Brian Price. Now, did the Red Sox give up a little bit too much for him, or was it the right deal going for the Red Sox?
I think the Red Sox got Martinez at a pretty good price. No pun intended, with Brian Price being one of the players involved.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, it wasn't quite the move that, as a Red Sox fan, I was hoping they'd make. They definitely needed a bat. So in that aspect, I like that they picked him up. He adds a lot of flexibility to the team. And the price, they didn't have to give up any of their core group of guys. So in that aspect, I think it was a very good move for Boston. Martinez can catch to spell Veritek a little bit here and there. Whenever Martinez is catching, it definitely improves their batting lineup. Veritek's been tailing off quite a bit as the season's gone along, so maybe having a little more of a breather will boost him up a little bit as well. And then Martinez can play first base, which for the most part would move Euclid over to third, give Lowell a bit of a breather, or he could, you know, he could DH with Ortiz depending on the righty-lefty matchups and stuff like that. So I think overall it's a good move for Boston. As we talked about previous, I hope that you know, it doesn't affect any issues in the clubhouse, because some of these guys, Lowell and Veritek and even Ortiz, may lose some at-bats, so hopefully the egos don't get in the way. But overall, I think the flexibility is good for Boston, and the price was really good, so I think that they picked up a much-needed bat. Plus, they have Martinez for all of next season as well, so a good move for Boston overall, I think.
So Veritek's contract was only a one-year contract, right?
With an option for a second year, which I think that Boston, I think it was a mutual option where Boston will decline their part of it, but Veritek could still pick up, I think Boston's option was for 5, so I would assume they declined that. Veritek's was for 3, so depending on whether him and his agent think that they can get something else, he may stick around for that next year. That'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, especially with Famer coming back, so he...
Well, that's right, yeah. So, I mean, even next year, for sure, Veritek will lose considerable amount of playing time, I would think. So maybe he'd rather go elsewhere and try to be the full-time guy. That'll be interesting to see in the offseason how that plays out.
Number 3, we got Cliff Lee going to the Cleveland Indians, along with Ben Francisco. Coming back to the Indians is Jason Knapp, Carlos Carrasco, the catcher Lou Marson, and how they talked about shortstop Jason Donald. Now, did the Phillies kind of lose out on the Roy Halladay sweepstakes going after Cliff Lee? I mean, they didn't have to give up J.A. Happ or any of their young core here, like Kyle Drabek as well. Now, do you think this is a good move for the Phillies? Will Cliff Lee pan out like a C.C. Sabathia did for the Brewers last year?
I think it was a good move for the Phillies. I don't know if Lee will have quite, you know, the influence that Sabathia had. Sabathia was lights out last year for Milwaukee. I think the Phillies got away with Lee, didn't have to give up near as much as they would have had to give for Halladay, obviously. Although at the same time, despite the good year Lee had last year and the good year he's having this year, I definitely don't think he's in the same class as Halliday is, but, you know, you kind of look at the price of what you've given up. Plus, they picked up a decent reserve outfielder in Francisco. So, overall, I think it's a good deal for Philadelphia. One of the things that would concern me maybe a little bit, some people probably wouldn't bother them too much, but Lee will give them now four left-handed pitchers in their rotation. So, when you get into a three- or four-game series and then into the playoffs, there might be a little bit of repetition there, seeing the same style of pitcher and whatnot. But overall, I think for the price they gave up, what Lee will bring back, I think it was probably a pretty good trade for Philadelphia.
Our number two, Jake Peavy, the right-hander for the Padres, who was talked about earlier in the year, going to, I believe, it was the Cubs? White Sox. Oh, it was the White Sox earlier. Okay, so he didn't waive his no-trade clause earlier in the year, but now the trade deadline, he waives his no-trade clause, sending four good pitchers, Clayton Richard, who is already in the rotation for the White Sox, is going back to the Padres. Peavy is injured right now. Am I correct on
that's
that?
That's right, yeah.
Now, what do you think of this trade? Is it good? I mean, Peavy is injured, so I guess you don't really know how he will react if the White Sox do get into the postseason. But really, what do you think of this trade?
Well, this trade kind of came out of right field, so to speak. You know, Peavy, a very similar deal earlier in the season. Peavy threw in his no-trade clause and refused the deal, and then he got hurt, and he's been out for the last little while, and he's going to be out for another month or so. So for this trade to come through, first of all, rarely you see a team trade for a player who's going to be out for such a length of time. Mm-hmm. So you don't, like you say, Ryan, you don't know what he's going to be able to give when he comes back. And then strange for him to agree to the trade now, whereas he didn't before. I'm not sure what circumstances took place there. But I think it could be a great deal for the White Sox. They gave up some young pitchers. I really like the Aaron Parada. I don't think any of the other three are going to be, you know, superstars by any means. So I think in terms of talent, the White Sox picked up, you know, a stud. I mean, Peavy's proven he's a Cy Young winner. He when he's healthy, he can be, you know, a top five, definitely a top 10 pitcher in baseball. So if he can go back at the end of August and give, you know, three or four or five good starts for the White Sox in September, definitely should help them going forward. And then if that can propel the White Sox into the playoffs, then, you know, look out, the White Sox could be a team to beat come playoff time, because Peavy's definitely a great player.
Exactly. Our number one trade, we will talk about this guy later in the show. He's been on a tear for the newly acquired Cardinal, Matt Holliday. Going back, he was traded from the Oakland A's to the St. Louis Cardinals on July the 24th. And going back the Oakland's way was Brett Wallace, outfielder Shane Peterson, and Clayton Mortensen. He's been unreal. Let's be honest here. Yeah. He's been a great protection for Albert Pujols in that Cardinals batting order. Mm-hmm. Do you think it will last, or what do you exactly think of this trade? Let's be honest here. Is it a good move in the future for giving up, like, Brett Wallace, who is an outstanding third baseman? In the future, do you think this will pan out good for the Cardinals?
This is one of those trades that is probably as close to a win-win as you'll see, I think. The Cardinals definitely needed another bat with Albert in the lineup. Halliday was having a poor year with Oakland, although in basically playing in Yellowstone Park, the size of that field, it's pretty tough for anyone to have a lot of home runs and whatnot. So at the time of the trade, it was a little bit... It was interesting to pick up a guy and pay such a hefty price for a guy who was playing poorly, but we've seen in Colorado how he can hit, and now that he's been with St. Louis, he's tearing the cover off the ball. I definitely think it helps St. Louis in the short term, obviously. They needed a bat for this year, and they're in a battle, you know, in the Central to try to make the playoffs. If they don't end up signing him to an extension, I think that this will definitely hurt St. Louis long term. Brett Wallace is, I think, hands down the best prospect that has been traded at the deadline. So a great job by Billy Bean, I think, to maximize the value of Holliday and get a great young prospect along with a couple other guys in return. So long term, I think definitely would go to Oakland. But, you know, if Holliday plays well in St. Louis, maybe that'll, you know, propel him forward to sign a contract with St. Louis instead of hitting free agency. So if that happens, you know, it could be a good deal for the Cardinals. Definitely for the rest of the season, it's a good deal for the Cardinals. If he can get them into the playoffs, I definitely think St. Louis will be one of the favorites to make the World Series coming out of the NL.
Exactly. Now, that will top off our top five here. We're going to go right into our winners and losers at this year's trade deadline. I'll go first with my winner, and then you'll go, Adam, with your winner, and sure. Then We'll go with loser and loser. My winner at this year's trade deadline was, I guess, in both our winners and both our losers, there's positive and negative. But I'm going to go with the Toronto Blue Jays. The Blue Jays held on to their ace pitcher, Roy Halladay, who was extremely talked about. And there was talk that there could be a last-minute deal arise with the Angels, but as J.P. Ricciardi has said all along, he just wanted to talk to teams about him, I guess. But really, Roy Halladay's value, the negative of this, of the Jays holding on to him, is that Halladay's value has gone, like, he's having an outstanding year this year. Mm. And if he doesn't, his trade value will definitely go down in the off season. And then if he doesn't pitch too well next year, then who's going to want him for half a year, really?
Exactly.
So the Blue Jays are winners in holding on to him fan-wise because he is so loved around the Toronto area, but negative because his value could go down. Now, I guess the Blue Jays are also winners here because they got a decent third baseman in Edwin Encarnacion. They dumped some salary with Scott Rolen being traded to the Reds, and they also got a couple good young pitchers, up-and-rising pitchers here. So that is why I chose the Toronto Blue Jays as winners at this year's deadline. Over to you, Adam.
All right. For winners, as I mentioned earlier, the Matt Halladay trade, I think, is a winner for both teams, really. I think St. Louis got a winner because they picked up a great bat that they needed this season. And as I mentioned, by getting Brett Wallace, especially, Oakland is definitely a winner because he's better than any of the basically the picks they would have got if they had held on to Halladay and didn't re-sign him, which they weren't going to do. So I think both teams come out winners there. Also, I have the top, you know, 60% of the American League Central. I think the White Sox, Twins, and Tigers all kind of came up as winners. The White Sox is with the TV deal that we mentioned earlier, picking up a great pitcher there, assuming that he can come back healthy. The Tigers, again, as we mentioned, with Washburn. And also the Twins, just a small move of picking up Orlando Cabrera without giving up basically anything for him. They needed a middle infielder. Cabrera's got playoff experience. He's a pretty good stick. He's a very good glove. So I think that all three of those teams are winners in the Central, and I think that's going to be a dandy battle come down the season to see which one of those three teams is going to get in.
No question. My loser at this year's deadline, they made a small deal, I guess, a few days before the trade deadline, acquiring George Sherrill, who has been really lights out for the, or was lights out for the Orioles there this year. But they didn't make the same push to top their pitching rotation as the Phillies did with acquiring Cliff Lee. Now, I guess I'm a little concerned about that. The Dodgers, I shouldn't say that they didn't make a push for anybody at the trade deadline because there was talks that Adrian Gonzalez and Heath Bell were both headed to the Dodgers, but that deal never transpired. I guess the reason why I'm concerned is just the pitching matchup. If they do happen to meet in the NLCS or really anywhere in the playoffs, then I guess I'm just a little concerned how the Dodgers pitching against the Phillies would match up.
Yeah, I will agree with you with the Dodgers. I think that, you know, for a team that had the best record, this kind of stood pat. I think Sherrill was a good pickup because their bullpen's been pretty overworked. So I think that was a good move. But I agree with what you say when you see the other big wigs, so to speak, in the NL with the Cardinals and Phillies each coming up with a huge deal. I think the Dodgers are probably going to regret the fact they didn't go out and get a bigger name. For losers as well, I had Cleveland for one. I didn't really like either deal, the Cliff Lee trade or the Victor Martinez trade. They got quantity, for sure. They got some solid young players. Don't get me wrong. They got some pieces that should be able to help out. But I just don't think they got any big stud prospects in return. I think if I was Mark Shapiro and I was trading two players like that, especially since both of these guys are signed for next year as well, you know, I definitely think I would have went for the quality more so than quantity, kind of like Ricciardi was doing, I guess, with Halladay. I think I would have pushed for, say, a Buchholz type for Boston, and like you mentioned, either Happ or Drabek from Philadelphia. So I didn't really like either of those three deals too much. And the other loser, kind of going with partly what you were saying, is I took the Blue Jays. I just think Ricciardi really dropped the ball in this Halladay situation. I think he tried to deal with the media, through the media, way too much. Like you mentioned, as good as Halladay is, his value is only going to drop from here. I would be very surprised if they trade him in the offseason because Ricciardi's got in his head that the Jays can contend. And then whenever this time next year when we're basically in the same position, You know, Halliday obviously isn't going to command near as much at the deadline for half a season as he would for a year and a half. So while it's good to hang on to, you know, arguably the best pitcher in baseball, I just think that they really should have done more. They could have got, you know, they could have got a great haul for him. Their Jays farm system's in just fair shape. So I think that now is the time to make a deal. I did like the Rowland deal. I think Encarnacion's got great power potential. And like you mentioned, they dropped a lot of salary. But if they're going to go into that mode, they should have traded Scooter. Oh, they could, I mean, his value is at its highest. They could have traded Scott Downs. I realize he's kind of been hurt, but he was back before the deadline. You know, guys like Lyle Overbay. Some of these guys could have been traded as well. If you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna sell the farm, so to speak, you might as well sell it all and really restock. And I think really think this was Toronto's really good chance to do that, and they just didn't do it. So I don't. I wouldn't be surprised. I would be surprised if Riccardi was around at the start of next baseball season. I just think he's done a poor job.
We've been saying that now for, what, 5 years?
Well, that's true. Yeah. No. So it's hard to say, but he really hasn't come close to winning anything in Toronto, and now with this whole Halliday fiasco, I would be surprised if he's sixth round, but you never know.
Now that we're done with our winners and losers at this year's deadline, we're going to, I guess, sort of shift things in a different direction, looking forward to October and our World Series predictions. Do you want me to go first?
Go ahead, sure.
All right. My prediction for World Series champions this year, I'm a Jays fan, but that's not going to happen. The St. Louis Cardinals is my pick, mainly because Albert Pujols has been having an outstanding year. Number one, he has a great chance at the Triple Crown this year. Number two, they acquired Matt Holliday. And number three, their pitching has been very lights out. They've had some good young talent step up, and then Chris Carpenter's back on his game. So if he can stay healthy, they're definitely a team to contend with in the National League.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think St. Louis is definitely going to be tough. I really don't have a team in particular that stands out right now. I know I'm kind of sitting on the fence here. I definitely like St. Louis. I think especially in the playoffs when you can throw Carpenter and Wainwright and Pinheiro out there, you know, especially in a short series, I think St. Louis is going to be dangerous. Halliday and Pujols, as you mentioned. It's also hard to go against the Phillies. You know, they did pick up a good pitcher, and they're the defending World Series champs. So I think it'll come down to St. Louis and Philly in the NL, and I agree that I think St. Louis would be the team I would pick to go to the World Series. In the AL, despite, you know, the Angels have been playing very well lately, but they didn't do much at the deadline to improve. The Central, the three teams, you know, as mentioned earlier, all kind of improved, but I don't see any one of those three really being outstanding. I think, cliche as it kind of sounds, just going back to the well, I guess, with the American League East, I think you'll see the AL representative come out of there. You know, New York and Boston right now are within half a game of each other. I think it could go either way there, and I wouldn't even, wouldn't rule out the Rays either. They get in a hot streak and get into the playoffs, and they could definitely make a run through. So I think you'll see probably St. Louis, possibly Philadelphia, and it'll be one of those three American League East teams. So that's my prediction right now.
That's awesome. Now, if one of those teams that you talked about win the World Series, and I guess I would big time. We could have talked for hours here, guys, about all the deals that took place during the deadline. We only have a short time limit here. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the episode. Thanks again, Adam, for joining me. As always, you did a great job.
Well, I appreciate it. Anytime.
I know we said that we would talk about Matt Holliday in this show later on in our Who's Hot and Who's Not, but due to the time restraints, we cannot do this. Sorry about that, guys. So we're going to just near end this right about now. Before we end, though, I'd like to get some comment feedback. Our first comment from episode 13 was from Mitchell McKenna, and Mitchell says, "Hey, bro, may want to spell out your Twitter name after you plug it in on the show. People may not know how to spell Rye. Great show, though." Well, Mitch, for all of you that would like to follow me on Twitter, as I said in previous shows, my username is RyGuy11. Now, to spell that out, it's RyGuy11. So that's my Twitter name. And also, thanks, Mitch. Mitch is a very popular Twitter feeder as well. Mitch gives some great Twitter feeds. Give Mitch a follow. He's our assistant technical director here at the Hawk Corner. He gives Matt, our techno director, some suggestions. And he also feeds me some of the songs that end the episode. So to follow Mitch on Twitter, it's MitchellMckenna. And that's
That's his username. No spaces, no capitals, nothing there. Our second comment from episode 13 is from Lightning, and Lightning says, "Nice job, Ryan. The sound quality is much better. I agree with the steroid ban of Hall of Famers, but I fear the impact that some of the other names will have. It's going to be tough not to be suspicious of anyone putting up Pujols-type numbers at this stage of the game, especially in light of the Ortiz allegations, which incidentally didn't surprise me one iota. Can't wait for some more pitchers' names to come out." You're right, Lightning. I can't wait for more pitchers' names to come out either. I mean, the only really ones that we've heard of so far is Roger Clemens and Andy Pettit, but I'm sure there were tons more pitchers that were pitching during that time that were on the juice. If there is news, you can find it right here at the Hawk Corner. And thanks, Lightning and Mitch, for the comments. Leave your comments at the leave a comment button on where you're listening from the show right now, or on Twitter, as I previously mentioned my username. Once again, it's RYGUY11. This was the Hawk Corner, episode 14, our trade recap show. We're going to leave you now with some Rascal Flatts, a little bit of variety. We usually have some rap or some rock, but this week we're going to have some country. Thanks for tuning in, guys, and have a good week. This has been a presentation of the Sports Superstation. This show was written, directed, and produced by Ryan McKenna. Technical director is Matthew. Assistant technical director is Mitchell. Special analyst, Adam Conley. Thanks for tuning in.
Way on down to southern Alabama with the guitars jamming, that's where we're headed. Straight up to Butte and Montana singing, "Lord, I was born a rambling man." California to Oregon. Even New York City got one or two hillbillies ready to hit the road.